Welcome to the Estate Professionals Mastermind Podcast, a podcast for estate professionals who earn more, work less, and make a huge difference in their communities. If you get value out of this free content, be sure to check out probatemastery.com, where you can get live classes, access to weekly coaching, and valuable courses. To learn more, visit probatemastery.com. Now let's jump into this week's content.
Okay, hey, welcome to our Tuesday morning, nominally speaking, real estate coaching call for Probate Master. I'm Bill Gross, and I am the lead colleague, rather than coach or owner. I own the business. I'm not a proprietor. I'm just like one of you guys. I've been involved with the Probate Master program since it started, and before that, when the prior owner launched the coaching program, alllease.com, and I followed it here and took the program here and took in several programs here as well. And then when they needed a host, I stepped in because I felt like this is something that I needed to help me improve my game and learn and stay on best practices and such. And I want to introduce, we introduced last week, Lou Gutierrez, who is a mucky muck with the company. I'm not sure what he does, but he's important. Lou, how you doing?
Hey, good morning, Bill. Good morning, everybody.
I don't hear you. Let's see here. Oh, I got the, oh, no wonder I got the wrong. There we go. Don't try again, Lou.
All right. Good morning, Bill.
There we
go.
Mine is not connected.
There we go.
Yeah, I have a couple of different Zoom accounts. So it gets a little complicated, unfortunately. So Lou, did you have anything that you wanted to share in the beginning?
Sure. Yeah. Just wanted to say hello to everybody, from Probate Mastery. See a couple familiar names. It's nice to see. I see Nick. Let's see, a shout out to Nick, and let's see, who else do I recognize
here? Macy, with her background, how can you miss her?
Yeah.
Cool.
So just wanted to plug in real quick, let everyone know that we still have our Probate Mastery or Earn New Year's special happening until the end of this month. That's 20% off either Earn or Probate Mastery. When you sign up for Probate Mastery, you could also do the Probate Mastery Interactive add-on. That's a subscription, you know, that you could cancel at any time. But it's $59 a month, and that will give you more coaching with Bruce. All right. And that's pretty much it. I'll be hanging out in the background if anyone has any questions about enrollment in our courses. You could also email me at sales@probatemastery.com. And I'll put in my information in the chat if anybody wants to jot it down and, you know, contact me later. Be happy to help you. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Lou. So this is probatemastery.com. And just some quick housekeeping. Lou obviously is a contact person with the company as far as sales or sales customer service issues. That didn't work out right, did it? Yeah. So this is probatemastery.com is a website. And if you want some free material, if you want to get certified, here's the link to the program and additional programs as well. And then the Facebook group, if you click on that, brings you here to Estate Planning Mastermind. We have 7,000 members nationally, people looking for referrals across the country for attorneys and realtors. And then Bruce is offering Probate Prospecting Series, and that'll be on Wednesdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, where he goes to prospecting. I get asked a lot of questions about phone calling and scripts and such. I don't cold call for probate. I have not for since I started the process, just because my business has worked out a little differently. Okay, let's see if I can get that squared away. Huh. Who's that? Okay, I've got that muted. I'm not sure what that is. Okay. So anyhow, so that's in the Facebook group. And then separately, my name is Bill Gross. I host probateweekly.com. Love to have you sign up for that. It's an interview format program I do every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Live, and then we stream that out as well. Then I have a Facebook group called Probate Weekly. Love to have you put your probate-related content there as well. So this is meant to be interactive. This is meant to be supportive, that we all, as practitioners at some level, you know, you bought the product, you bought the service at some level to sell more houses. And to do that, you got to do certain activities. And, you know, I might have started a little bit ahead of you, but we're on the same path, we're on the same road. And my job is to help you by sharing my experience, strength, and hope of what I'm doing. I want to share with you guys just one thought, because at the beginning of the year, I don't know about you, I feel, tell me if you agree with this, I see a lot of desperation in our industry right now. I don't feel it, but I feel it in my colleagues. I feel it in the agents I work with. I feel it in the calls. Is this true or not true? But true or not true? Hey, Bill, not true. You're making it up. What are you smoking? Or true? Yes. I think this is generally true of our society post-pandemic, you know, and a lot of other things. Not getting too political, but just anxiety and stress and tension and economic issues. And I think particularly in real estate, I see it. So because at the beginning of the year, there's a certain cyclicality to our business, tends to be a little less volume now, less competition. But at the same time, there's also a flurry of programs, a flurry of business plans, a flurry of new training. What I admire about Bruce in Prairie Mastery is you'll notice the program he's offering is prospecting methods, the same fundamentals, right? If you follow any sports team, when they start the season, what do? They go back to the fundamentals. If you follow my favorite TV show is Hard Knocks on HBO, where they have the preseason of the NFL football teams. And I don't care how good you are, I don't care how much money you make, beginning of the season, you got to run a lot, you got to lift weights, you got to run over the little cone things. Right? Those are fundamentals. Those don't change. We have to master those. And so I want you to think about that in order to be successful in any endeavor. Okay, so Will says transaction volume is so far down. I will say it's true overall. It's true in my market. It's not true for me. I'm busy. Now, I will say I've taken up more time than I ever have in December and January, but I was very strategic about when I did it, and I worked when I was supposed to work and worked pretty intensely. And as a result, I have a lot going on. And so I want to give you guys something to think about as you are looking to restart, reinvigorate, get back on the track, get started in for the year, continue and grow, whatever, wherever you are in the process. I want to think about one of my favorite movies of all time is My Cousin Vinny. And I would say if you work with attorneys, it's a must watch. Every attorney I ever mentioned that movie to has seen it and loves it. My Cousin Vinny. With Melissa Tomei, I think she got an Academy Award for the movie. there's a scene in the movie that, to me, exemplifies what our real goal is here. I don't believe our goal is to get data from a company and cold call it so well that we just, like a machine gun, would just kill more enemies, that we prospect and kill more prospects and list more houses as a result. I don't believe that's the goal. I do think it's important to talk to people. But in the movie, there's a scene. Now, I will say that I'm somewhat offended by the scene in that I'm very much sensitive to people who stutter. My best friend in high school was a stutterer. To his credit, he overcame it. We were in high school debate team together. And then in college, we both had scholarships to USC. He earned a scholarship, full scholarship to USC on the debate team because he learned how to control his stuttering. Amazing, you know, experience to watch that. So I'm a little sensitive. And the movie kind of makes fun of a guy who stutters and whatever. But there's a scene where there's two attorneys, and they're both there's two different cousins who have to hire an attorney, and one decides to pick the cousin of these two cousins, and the other one decides to go with a local attorney. I think he was what do you call the free one that they give you public defender. So public defender initially sounds great. Unfortunately, in courtroom, he stutters. And again, I don't want to make fun of that. But it was clear that he wasn't on top of the stuttering. He wasn't prepared. He asked questions he didn't know the answers to. Classic mistakes attorneys make. And as a result, he looked really stupid. In fact, the stuttering had nothing to do with it. It would have been just as funny without, in my opinion, without the stuttering. But he obviously wasn't prepared. And then the other one was Vinny, the attorney, the movie's about, who just tore apart the witness like that. Guess he was prepared, he had the information, he knew what he was doing. And after this, at the end of the scene, the one cousin says to his attorney, the bad one, "You're fired." And he yells out loud to the judge, "I want him to represent me." And I've always said to myself, that's the experience I want my customers to have for me. I saw somebody who had in the chat, I don't remember if it was my Facebook group or the probate master's Facebook group, about somebody who lost out a deal where they offered a lot of services and this other person offered services in a different way. And I think sometimes we look for the right script and the right thing to say, or the right machine gun bullet to hit the enemy with, or machine gun bullet versus artillery shell versus, yeah, I don't know. I didn't this for the military, so I'm making this all up as I go along here. But you get the point. What's the right weapon, or being the right person? And I'll say to you that the advice I got, I say this all the time. I don't follow it my marriage. I'll admit this. When I got married, under the wedding canopy, my rabbi at the time gave me some great advice. I won't say I follow it, but I know I'm supposed to. And it applies to business, which is the key to success in marriage and all relationships isn't finding the right partner, it's being the right partner. And so what I'm going to challenge you with is probate mastery, in my experience, the difference. The reason why I'm here and not the other ones. And I do, encourage people to buy data here, and there's other good products other people have. But in terms of the coaching, because in my experience, probate mastery is challenging you to be the real estate agent that families or attorneys or vendors need. And if you focus on being that person, I believe the right words will come to you. If you don't, if you think you're not the right person, but the script will magically get you there, I don't think it's a script. Now, I'm not knocking practicing the script, because you have to have a lot of conversations to get comfortable and get good at it. I've done that in my career. I'm sure you guys can tell. I can talk. You can wake me up at 3 in the morning. I can talk for an hour about probate, right? So I don't need that practice today. But what I'll say to you is the focus as you go through these training programs, and I don't know about you, I'm just inundated with texts and emails about this training, that training, and some are good, and I refer them to people on my team and such. But they all come from you're inadequate, and we have a magic pill that if you swallow this, you'll magically get business. And I'm going to say to you, if you commit yourself this year to being the agent that families and attorneys and the vendors in your market, senior people, senior professionals, all that group, whatever it is that you're chasing after, luxury home buyers, I don't, luxury home sellers, whatever it is you're looking for, if you commit to being the person they want, then business comes to you in a much easier, natural way. And what I'll tell you is if you don't, if you think it's the magic pill, business is really tough. It's going to be a grind because you're never going to be enough. Nothing you ever do will be enough. And so I'm on this call as your colleague, maybe a little senior to some of you in terms of my time on this task, to say to you, you can do it. It's the harder path up front, but it's the best one in the long run, is learning and preparing and reading your documents and understanding your customers' needs rather than just going on to the next cold call, going on to the next appointment. That's my challenge for you guys today. Okay, I got my soapbox today. Sorry about that. This is meant to be participative, so feel free to jump in with questions. You can raise your hand, put in the chat box, or if you're brave, just unmute yourself, and I'd love to chat with you and love to make this interactive. This is meant to be, participative, and the goal here is share your successes, right? You want to be better, help other people be better. Share your failures. You want to get better, tell the truth, and let's share the lessons you've learned from that. So it's meant to be participative. We're not charging for the call today. I'm here to help. I'm doing a ton of business. I'd be glad to share with you guys what I'm doing. Pretty much almost anything I do, I'm willing to share with you guys. So who's got a question, challenge? Peter, let's see here. Let's get you unmuted. The
Hi,
brave one
Dale.
today. What's going on?
I'm new in real estate. I also do estate sales. I've got a probate list for my county courthouse. What is the best way? They just give me a name. What is the best way to skip trace that probate list? Is there a better software than others, or what do you prefer?
I don't do skip tracing, so I don't know the answer. Now, on the call here, what I recommend you do is go to the estate planning website. I'll put the link for the Facebook group in the chat box. And I say go in there and post that. It's a great question. And if you, that's my Facebook group. And then here's the estate planning one that's affiliated with this group. So it's two Facebook groups. Put the same post in both places. I'd love to see the answer. I don't skip trace because then the next question is, what are you going to do with the information once you get it?
Oh, you're on mute.
I'm on mute?
You were.
Yeah, I didn't hear a word after. What do you do with the information after you get it?
Yeah, what are you going to do with the information after you get it?
Cold call, basically.
I think that there are services that sell the data and they've done the skip tracing for you. What mm-hmm. county are you in?
I'm in Nueces County in Texas.
So, if data varies by county, if you go to data.probateweekly.com, I have a list of the data sources I'm familiar with and with some notes on that. You're welcome to check those out. There's one that gives a 20% discount and a free book if you sign up. so it might be cheaper just to buy the data pre-skip traced rather than taking the time and the money to get it skip traced.
You can, if you're generating your lead sources through PropStream, for example, you can filter a search for pre-probate. And all that means is that one of the people on title for the property mm-hmm. is deceased.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you can create that list for your county, for your city, around a particular address. I mean, you can really drill it down. But when you download that list, you can then upload it into their skip tracing format, and it will skip trace all of that content for you for 12 cents a record. And it's not 12 cents for every single record. It's 12 cents for every record that they are able to pull data from. Okay. PropStream. It will scrub it against the DNC for you as well. So not only are you getting their updated and most recent contact information, including email addresses, because there's nothing that says you can't email them, but it will scrub it against the DNC so that you don't violate a do not call list.
Renee, do you cold call from such a list?
I don't start with a call. I start with a letter
mm-hmm.
Expressing condolences and seeing if there's a way that I can bring them value.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they need a trash out clean out service or an estate planning service or something of that nature. So I send the letter first and then I call. So I mail out on Thursday and I call on Tuesday. That mm-hmm. gives plenty of time for them to have received the letter in the mail and to have read it. And then when I call, it's, hi, Peter, this is Renee Quigley with Keller Williams. I'm just calling to confirm that you received the letter that I sent you last week.
Mm.
Now I have a reason to call.
And where do you sell real estate, Renee?
I'm sorry?
Where do you sell real estate?
I'm in Eastern Washington State.
Eastern Washington State, like Spokane area? Or?
South of Spokane. I'm actually in an area called the Tri-Cities. So it's three cities. Well, it's really seven cities on three rivers. And it's in the eastern corner. So nice. I border Oregon and Idaho.
Very nice. Okay, and there you
Connie,
go.
The resources PropStream.
Yeah, PropStream is a major data source provider. I think you'll find that the cold calling works better in smaller, less, metro areas. Like, it's just, I think you're going to have success with it in Los Angeles, like you would in, Eastern Washington, south of Spokane. Different types of people live there and different reaction. But, I think the key is try for yourself what works and use that.
Yeah, and Peter, I would also suggest, because somebody's asking, getting a pre-probate list from PropStream provides info for the deceased, not the PR. You're correct. It does not provide for the PR. Well, yes and no, because again, one of the people on title has passed away. So if there's a surviving spouse, you're going to get that information, right? Another good resource, though, for PRs is Catalyze AI. It's actually a financial planning software that was created to kind of vet people that might have, high assets that need to be reallocated. And they found that it does have a really good It's a very robust system to use for PRs. And what it will do is it'll identify again a property, the property owner who's maybe passed, and then all of the potential PRs. So it could be spouses, children, you know, brother or sister, something of that nature. It will provide all of their contact information, and it's already scrubbed. But that one costs, like, for example, I had a protected area in my county for up to 50 miles, and it cost me $350 a month. I get a monthly report, and I'm going to have anywhere from, I don't know, 10 to 50 leads a month from that.
Bill, can I ask a question?
Yeah. Okay. So first up, Peter, did we finish that? Are we good?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Very good. Renee, thank you so much. Thanks for the details. Who was it that wanted to ask a question?
It's me, Samson.
Samson, hi. For sure.
Couple of questions. Actually, from you, you mentioned data.probateweekly.com.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a correct URL address? Did I type it, heard it correctly from you?
Well, let me see.
Because when I typed it, it
oh, wow.
Not
You're really. Right. You're right. Huh. It's my website. It really just a place on my website that I put data. Go to my website is the LA. This is sad. This is, I thought I did this right.
Are you putting it in the chat?
I'm going to.
And then while you're doing that, my next question for Renee, you said that you write a letter. Do you have that customized by yourself, or do you subscribe somewhere that you get these letters, or what?
Well, I do them myself. I have a whole series of letters. So there's up to, I think, five or six that get mailed out to PRs over the course of several months. And I have value add documents that I include with it, like a probate timeline and executor duties handout, inventory, you know, an asset inventory list. So there's several things that I send each time I send a letter, but it's about four or five letters in the series that go to the PRs.
Would you mind if we can discuss this later? Not here, but perhaps.
Sure, be happy to.
Okay. Do you have an email by any chance?
I'll put it in the chat.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. I did get your email, your website. So, where do I go to find that list that you were saying?
Yeah, that's right. In the link there, it's probate data sources, and I have all the companies I'm familiar with that sell the data. And some notes. If you have some feedback on any of them, please pass it on, and I'll update my list.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
You know, it's interesting. Real estate agents so often ask for template letters of other people, and I admire what Renee did that she did around, because the essence of what we're doing is communicating with our customers. It would be like hiring somebody to sleep with your spouse. Like, it might please your spouse, but it's not going to do much to create a relationship for you, right? And I literally just heard last night one of my business heroes, and he's a mixed bag, and I'm not saying I want to be him or would change my life with him, but Elon Musk was interviewed last night, and it was asked about his Twitter, posts. And, you know, there's always haters and make fun of the fact that he posts his own. And he said he thinks the most important thing of a leader is communication, and he would never delegate that to somebody else. And, you know, like him or not, former President Trump did his own and does his own tweets. And what's undeniable is he has a loyal following of people. Now, whether you say that's good or bad, or you want to vote for him or not, that's a different question. But certainly we should be able to look at his business acumen and draw from that. And those are two people who've built huge organizations, movements, following, which is what we want at a small scale as realtors. And we can't substitute the communication because it won't be authentically us. And the last thing I would share with you, I was listening to, again, one of my coaches in YouTube, Sean Cannell, who said the same thing, that one of the most important parts of your video is to be authentic. I think Google, the most searched word in business last year was authentic. And what does that mean? So again, I applaud Renee for writing around, and for the rest of you, I would say, even if companies sell them, I see companies that do, maybe for ideas, maybe for brainstorming, it's good to get an idea of what other people send. But the core of what you're sending is your communication with a customer. And if you send them a letter and then you later call and those two communications don't match up, it's inauthentic communication. It's going to hinder your ability to connect with them, in my humble opinion.
And can I just piggyback on that, Bill, and say that, you know, I reviewed letters from several different sources before I came up with my own. So there were maybe some components that I liked of one and some of another. But you're right. It had to be in my authentic voice so that they could hear my compassion and my empathy and my caring in the letter. Yep. In fact, I've had people say to me when I ask them, you know, why did you choose to work with me when you have all these other realtors that were, you know, approaching you? And every single time it's because as I read your letter, I felt that you really cared about me.
Yeah, that's the core of it. And I know there are companies, and it used to be very popular last couple of years, these complicated funnels. You know, somebody comes into your website and they get like a series of five emails and letters and texts and all this kind of stuff. And at the end of the day, it's a robot. And I always tell people, if robots could sell houses, Google and Amazon would sell all the houses. They're not. Why? Because they can't. Because customers want a human relationship if they can get it. Now, if they can't get it, they'll discount our commission and go to somebody else. But most customers want, 90% of customers today want a human reaction, somebody they can, a human relationship with somebody they can trust, that will help guide them through the process, and particularly in probate, where it's even more stressful. And if you're that person, then they're going to gravitate to you. And I don't think that anybody can create that for you. So thanks, Renee. Thanks for agreeing with me, Renee. I love when people agree with me. no, and you're welcome to disagree. This is the chance to do it. I don't know everything. And frankly, you know, when you get started and you want to copy somebody, you know, go for it. Get started. It's important to get something going. But then I think the goal would be to rewrite it and be more authentic. Okay. Halfway point. Just a real quick recap on where we are and what we do. This is Probate Mastery's weekly real estate agent coaching call. We get together every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time, and it's recorded on YouTube. Probate Mastery is a program that has a whole world of content for those of you looking to build your business in real estate based on probate real estate. There's the basics and some good free material to get certified. I think this is the most viable certification in that it's not just a certificate, but it's going to really teach you where to come from in building your business and creating value for your customers. I have, I think, five certificates, but I don't use any of them. Even use this one, to be honest. It's the material and education that I think that they do such a good job at. And then additional courses and bundles from time to time, including the prospecting program coming up on Wednesdays. And then the Facebook group, Estate Planning, Estate Professional Mastermind, a great place to ask more questions, continue the conversation. And here's Bruce making a silly face, promoting the Wednesday prospecting program, which is free. Notice it's free $99. I'm Bill Gross, and I host Probate Weekly, probateweekly.com, every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific time. And that's also live streamed and recorded. And I interview attorneys and professionals in the business as a way for me to build my business and to educate you and help you guys build your business as well. Okay, there we go. Questions, comments, victories. Who's got a victory? I'm like this close to signing a portfolio of property to be the biggest listing in my career, like that close, the next couple of days. Really excited about it.
Hey, Bill, I got a quick question.
Sure.
So I recently signed up for the group here, for the Probate Mastery, and I'm going through the classes. I have been prospecting. I kind of did this backwards. I got some lists. Started prospecting the lists. I came up with my own letter. And one of the things that I've run into is people with reverse mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious, like, I've been trying to get some like more information on how, like, what situation they're in and like how I can kind of better serve the people that are in the situation, because right. I mean, on the face of it, I don't really know how it works. I did back into this whole probate niche just by accident in the last year. I've done like 5 probates, and it was just like by circumstance more, some on the investing side and some as a realtor. And, you know, I understand it, but I, with the reverse, well, let me ask this question. I have actually a couple of questions. The reverse mortgage is my first. So like, what are they facing? And like, does the mortgage get called? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah. So obviously there's different types, but the most common experience that I find in reverse mortgages is the mortgage is taken out. Mom and dad, you know, both of them were alive at the time, or one of them. And then, you know, if one passes, the mortgage still stays intact. And where do you sell houses, Nick?
In Massachusetts.
Should have guessed from the accent. My wife's from Boston. My wife's from Belmont, near Boston.
Okay, my mom's from Belmont, yeah.
So for the rest of you, everybody who lives in Belmont's excited to hear about that, but nobody else really cares. So most commonly, they have 6 months from the date of death before they, you know, start processing the loan towards foreclosure. The mortgage companies get notified when somebody passes on birth certificate, I'm sorry, death certificates. The originals have social security numbers, and there's a database that goes to, it's kind of creepy if you think about it, but there's a central database, and then banks have access to that. So now they know immediately chose to close bank accounts. So oftentimes you'll find somebody has a joint bank account with the decedent. Oh, no problem, we have a joint bank account. But if the bank finds out the joint account, they'll just close the account and then let you sort out whose money it is later. So that's not really a good solution. Reverse mortgage, same thing. They know, oftentimes they'll send a letter saying, hey, you know, based on the information we have, you know, Joe so-and-so, Mary so-and-so has passed, and if so, the loan's due and you have 6 months. So what often happens is there's a child living in the house. Maybe there's 3 siblings. This is the common scenario. One's living there, 3 don't. The one who's living there never launched. He never moved out of mom or dad's house, never bought a house, never got a job, can't qualify to refinance, can't qualify to buy it. He gets the mail, throws it away, ignores it because he's living for free. And he assumes, oh, I'm smart in the bank. They'll never figure out mom and dad are gone. And then one day they get a letter in the mail that says notice of default has been filed. And in California, the process is, you know, 90-day notice and then a 30-day notice of trustee sale, a 21-day notice of trustee sale. So they have about 4 months. And so what happens regularly is now who's going to notify the bank, who's going to pay the loan? I don't know the laws of Massachusetts. In California, if the decedent's on the loan, they own the house, you can't just sell the house. You can't just refinance it because they're not alive. And if they haven't done anything yet, now they got to hurry up and file probate to get authorized by the court to borrow money, pay, you know, whatever, access bank accounts and such. So this is where, as a professional, I want those people to call me and say, hey, I'm in a hurry. Great. I know a guy who'll get done for you quickly and efficiently, because 90% of the attorneys who do this, you'll get delayed once or twice and be facing foreclosure. But the pros will get it done every time the first time. And that's what you need here. You don't have time for mistakes. So sometimes you have to do what's called ex parte in California, where they'll go into the judge like on an emergency basis. Hey, we're losing the house and we need to get appointed. And in some jurisdictions, LA, they'll almost always say yes. In other jurisdictions, judges say no. Hey, where have you been for 6 months? And you know darn well you got letters in the mail and you're just coming to me to waste my time. So it, you know, you kind of put the ball in the judge's hands in California. Again, I don't know the laws in Massachusetts. I'm interviewing an attorney from Massachusetts, and I'm interviewing a reverse mortgage expert from Massachusetts, my probate weekly a few months from now. So this is an important topic. I think you're asking great questions. What I would encourage you to do is to reach out to reverse mortgage experts in your area that you might refer business to, and ask them those questions, and the probate attorneys that you work with, and ask them those questions, because that's what the difference is on being the right partner versus finding the right business. If you know the answer to those questions in your jurisdiction, then of course they're going to call you with problems. If you know how to get the probate done quickly, the reverse mortgage guy doesn't want to lose the customer. The attorney doesn't want to waste time and money. They're going to call you. So this is the opportunity that you have. These problems are our opportunities. And this is what we get paid to solve.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give that a shot. I think with one in particular, I think I'm going to be able to just look at the mail and call the reverse mortgage company directly. Other than that, and there's an attorney that I could talk to about this as well. So I think I might just drop him an email. That, but we work on other stuff together. So I think I might just ask him on this. The other question I had, thanks for your answer. I think that was helpful.
And there's a guy that in particular in your area that I'm interviewing that I think you would, it'd be great for you to meet him. Chris Downey, I don't know if you know him, with the Federal Savings Bank.
No.
Okay, so I'll put his info in the chat. He's really a reverse mortgage expert. I believe he's in Braintree, which is pretty close to where you're at. And my guess is that he'd also be a good source for you of potential referrals or overlap as far as that goes. So I'll put it in the chat box. But I have, I'm interviewing him on my program. Do you set a date yet? February 2nd, February 1st.
Okay. And then the other question I did have was, so I'm going through the course material and it's talking about going to the probate court. I've watched some of your material where you're talking about going to the court. So one of the things that I was thinking about doing was going to the court and just trying to figure out how I would help someone just to get my hands really around the whole process, that because the what I have, the attorneys have really dealt with the whole situation. I mean, I helped them market the house, sell the house. I knew we had to go through probate, you know, in one situation it had to be posted, and you know, and I just sat there and waited them, bought the house. But the attorneys, I was in the loop on the emails, but not really, didn't really have my hands around the process completely. Like as far as the vendor list, I really have that. That's another advantage I feel like I have, because I kind of have that set up from doing flip projects. So I have a lot of people that can do cleanouts, contractors, all that kind of thing. But the process itself and really being well-versed on the, like having the appropriate, like, vernacular to, like, you know, talk about what they're dealing with, I don't really feel like I'm well versed on. So the going to the probate court made sense to me, and trying to figure out each step, especially specific to my the counties I'm going to be working in. So what I was going to do was go to the probate court and just ask them, you know, how do I go step by step if I was going to help somebody complete a sale pro se. Do you think
so,
that we get?
Well, here's what I'll say. First off, I don't know the answer in your jurisdiction. Here's what I do know in LA. You're going to waste your time asking for that help, and you'll discover that. You'll go up to the counter with a bulletproof glass, and you'll have the rude government employee, and there's probably two or three there, and they're chit-chatting away. And you walk up, and they'll chit-chat for two more minutes, ignoring you, and then you'll... And you'll ask a nice question. You're a nice guy. You ask politely. You know, we only help with that. You need to do it on your own and check the internet for the most part. I live in Los Angeles.
Bureaucrats.
Well, I live in Los Angeles. So, you know, it's, yeah. Every place has its culture. Whereas I've talked to people on this call and my other calls who go to their county, and the clerk is very helpful. Courtney Rollins comes to my call. He's out of Virginia. I want to say Virginia Beach. I don't think that's right. North Carolina. And he went to his local court, and like the clerk, no, he's a really good looking guy and a very nice guy. And the clerk just couldn't do enough for him and became his best friend, started referring him business. So I would say that's for you to find out either way, right? And that way, when you talk to a customer, you can say, don't waste your time. I went there to the Boston County and it was a waste of time. Or you can say, they're really helpful. Here's what I learned. And so I think that's the part when I mentioned before about being the right agent is knowing those answers. Do your recon. When I started, I took probate mastery. This was 5 years ago. Well, 5 years ago. And at the time, the prior coach, Chad, challenged the students to go to court one day just to see what's there. And I went, and I realized there was a lot going on. I went back again. I ended up going for the rest of the week, then the rest of the month. And I rewrote my business plan and went there every day until COVID shut it down. So I think there's a lot there, and I don't want to be evasive. The opposite. I want you to discover the right answer for your county, and then that becomes your competitive advantage. Because I'll tell you, most other agents will do everything they can to avoid going to court. Seems silly to me. I look for, now I will say I don't go every day like I used to. I'm a little older now. I have more business now. My time's more valuable now. I'm trying to monitor my hours more health-wise, exercise more consistently. But when I do have investors bidding on property, even though I could go in via online, I use that as an opportunity to go to court because those are high-value opportunities to meet attorneys, see the judge, have the judge see me. And so I would just encourage you to go to court and do your recon. And it might take more than one visit to really scope it all out. Go on the online services in your county, see what's available. And they might reference you to the state. Again, I don't know your county. I know the name of your county, for one thing, and your state. But you be the expert in that. And then come back here and tell us what you learned. I guarantee you, if you put the time in, you get a return on your investment for your time for that.
No, I'm going on Thursday.
Good.
I have a meeting in Thursday afternoon in Plymouth, so I'm going to go down there. Yeah, I'll just go check it out and see what happens.
Get there early, stay late.
Yeah, I've had some experience going there. Just I had to get like a divorce decree from the probate for a closing. So I've gone down there. They've been okay. I mean, you got to go through security to get in, that kind of thing.
Which I'm in LA. That's great, right? At least I know everybody in the building. Nobody has a gun other than the sheriff. So for me, I'm a little nervous going downtown LA. But when I go to the courthouse, once I get through the metal detectors, I'm safe. It's air conditioned. They have great Wi-Fi, and there's a Starbucks. Perfect for me.
No Starbucks here.
Okay. Well,
remember that.
Okay. Well, this guy be coffee somewhere. I can't believe this courthouse without good coffee. It's just attorneys aren't going to put up with that. I don't see that happen. And judges, they're not going to put up with that. So maybe you need to find where the coffee shop is.
Yeah. I'll give it a shot, though, and I'll see how it goes. But thanks. I appreciate your time.
Sure. Thanks. Right. Let me see. Go back. Renee suggests Heckams is another option. I think his question was more about people where he had a loan in past.
Okay. Yeah, but if you're doing any work with what I have found, I'm doing work with probate people and there's a reverse mortgage in place, a lot mm-hmm. of times just educating the PR just for their own information, mm-hmm. you know, about if they're thinking about reverse mortgages for themselves, just mm-hmm. letting them know about the Heckam mm-hmm. is great because it is an FHA backed product. So it cannot be foreclosed on, where with the traditional reverse mortgages, if that equity to debt ratio is out of whack, they can foreclose on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sarah says, I'm talking to someone that's having a hard time with a relative that's delaying the selling of the house. This sounds like my world, Sarah. we can't move forward because they feel the relative is blocking any progress. What can I do to help them? I don't know if you want to jump in here and I can ask you some questions live. But I don't know which scenario yours is. There's a number of scenarios. Sometimes there's just one sibling who just doesn't want to sell the house because they're living there for free. Another one is they just hate each other and enjoy torching each other through the legal process. And so it depends on the circumstances. And I feel like my job is to both educate my client and to help the attorney, who probably doesn't really know what his options are in many cases. And sometimes to work with the other party's attorney to help make a meeting of the mind. I had an occasion where that was exactly the case. We had the brother who kept undermining the sale. And I said, well, let's get a contract, and then we'll send, in California, you have a term, a form called notice of proposed action. So even with full authority, if you're going to sell the house, you have to get the you know, all the parties who are noticed on the case notice that, well, we're going to sell the house for this amount of money to this person, and these are the basic terms. And anybody can object. They can either not respond, and 15 days go by, you can sell the house, or they can approve it, you can sell the house, or they can object. And the only real solution if they object is either get them to take back the objection, or you can go to court and have the court confirm the sale, which costs money and time. And so what I did was, we knew he would object, and I just took the numbers that we had and calculated the attorney fee, the filing fee, the publication fee, that reselling the house, the buyers would back out. We have to resell the house. I estimated for 3% loss. It would take us at least 2 months, calculate the loss money there, insurance, the taxes. I gave a spreadsheet with all the costs and said, here's how much we're going to lose by going through this process. At the end of the day, the house would be sold either way. But here's the key thing in California law. If the objector is objected to the sale wrongly without basis, then that extra money comes out of their side of the heirship, of the inheritance. And so I calculated there was going to cost this guy, I don't remember the exact amount, $30,000, $40,000. And I worked it out. I sent it to the attorney. I walked the attorney through it. He sent it to the client, and then got the customer to prove, or the other heir to prove the notice of proposed action. And that's where knowing the process is valuable. And I didn't get it by making extra phone calls. I didn't get it by sending extra mailers. I got it by taking a lead that can be challenging and working through it. And I'll say, sir, I don't know your case. I'm glad to talk to you about it. But once you work through one, you can do a second or a third or a fourth. And that's the goal, is to be the person that solves those problems. Hope that helps a little bit. Okay, so thank you. You got to run next week. Okay, good. Any other questions? We're kind of coming up towards the end of the hour. I don't see other hands up. Renee has to run. Renee, nice meeting you. Macy, where are your glasses? I felt cheated. There you go. Okay. You know, really, I look forward to coming here and seeing your glasses. Any other questions, challenges, victories you guys want to report?
Bill, I have a very, very elementary and perhaps even stupid question, and so please, no one laugh at me.
no stupid questions
I'm
here.
I'm kind of new to this probate business, but then I've always told that when people do not have a trust estate or a trust in a way, they are end up with probate, and then once someone dies. And they want to go to court. The minute they go to court, they have to cough up what, 20, 30K, even before they start the probate. Is that true?
And Samson, where do you sell real estate?
In Northern California.
So in California. So if you don't have a trust, if somebody dies and has interest in real property over a certain amount, the only way to transfer title, which would be to sell it or to refinance it to, in somebody else's name, is to change title. The court has to do that through probate. That's the process that the California law has created to do that. If you have a trust, technically, the owner hasn't died because the trust owns the property, not the decedent. And the trust says, oh, when Joe, the decedent, passes, it goes to Mary or Bob or Sally decides what happens. So because the property is deeded in the name of the trust or like a corporation, the trust determines what happens. That is how you can most likely avoid probate. Now, trusts don't always avoid probate because oftentimes you have a lot of money, people are going to sue. And so it's a misnomer that just because you have a trust, you won't get sued. But it certainly lowers the odds tremendously. And if you move properly, you can get things done quickly and typically avoid lawsuits. All right. Now, how much money does it cost? Well, you have your county filing fee of the basic form, though some counties will waive it. You know, LA waives it because we just give everything to everybody for free. Some counties do, some counties don't. You need to file a publication of the intent to probate. And in LA County, that can cost $300, $400, depending on where you live. And then the question is, who's going to do it? You do it yourself, or you can hire somebody. If you hire somebody, an attorney, The attorney may require money up front, may not. Some attorneys do, some don't. But the smart ones will not only require money up front, but they'll use a probate advance to get the heir to advance some of their heirship to get money on deposit to pay for the expenses, as well as to give them some money for their retainer for the legal fees. So that's a whole separate thing. I teach a class, getprobate.cash, and I have a Facebook group called Get Probate Cash that I go into that in detail. So I answer your question. Many people start by writing a big check to their attorney, but you really don't need to. It's probably a couple $1,000s of hard cash, and then whatever the attorney might require. But that can be advanced in many cases and not doesn't have to come out of the person's pocket.
Okay. So really, the myth that people bring when they step into court, they have to cough up 20-30K.
Never. No.
Okay.
Unless there's litigation, you know, somebody suing somebody for something, that's a different story. But a basic probate, no. Okay.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Okay.
I'm going to join your program.
Thank you. Matthew Neal says, question they were asked, when you went to courthouse the first time, do you have an agenda or some activities that you want to accomplish? Or what agenda activities would you recommend when going to the courthouse the first time? So Matthew, I always use a lot of military metaphors. I never served. I admire those who did and thank those who did. But I went on a recon mission. I wanted to learn what was there. What are all the resources available? And so I learned in LA County where the departments were, which floors they're located on, when they held court, what type of court hearings they held at different times of day, where the probate courtroom was in LA County, it's on the fourth floor, where the coffee shop was, second floor, Starbucks outside, 10th floor on top. Cross Street was a law library that has programs because I looked at the bulletin boards that told me about those free programs. So I really just did a recon mission and kind of noticed that when court started at 8:30, there were people there early. And then the court typically didn't start until 9, meaning everybody's milling outside the courtroom. And then eventually the bailiff would open the door and they're all finally in around 9 o'clock. So I found that from 8:15 to 9 was pretty much prime time to meet attorneys or petitioners or whoever in the courthouse. That's what I learned. And so I put all that together and started gathering information. And then once I did that for a week, I went back, wrote a business plan and implemented that based on what I saw. Hope that helps. But again, I think you all are in different counties. You should go and do recon on your county and know the resources available in your county, because that's the opportunity that the other people don't know. Okay, we're up at the end of the hour. Any last questions, comments, victories? I'm totally brand new to this, finished my intro course today, signing up for the next program, but what should I do first? Did in several probate deals in the past, but really do anything, just sold the house. You know, Jim, I think that this is the biggest opportunity for everybody, which is we assume we have to kind of revamp everything. If you've sold houses already, the number one thing I would say is make sure your communication with your database is up to date. Every name, address, phone number, email address, social media, they have all that put together. And then as you learn about probate, you can share with your client list things that you've learned that are of value to them, i.e. estate planning avoids probate, i.e. probate court could be a nightmare, such as celebrity who did plan and is suffering in probate court. So as you learn things, that becomes the content you can share with your clients to demonstrate your expertise. One of the things I always tell my team is there's a movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, Catch Me If You Can, where he plays a con man, Fred Abagnale. Among other things, he taught a French class. Even though he was in high school himself, he acted like he was a teacher. They asked him, well, how did you teach the class when you were in high school yourself? He said, well, if I just learned the chapter ahead of the students, they assumed I was a teacher. And I think as realtors, we don't need to know everything about probate. We just need to know enough good information to share with our customers to both help them learn and help them accept us as a valuable resource in their business, in their business of selling their house. If somebody passes away without a will, who's entitled to get an affidavit of heirship? Robert asks. Robert, I don't know the law in your state. And in California, we don't really use an affidavit of heirship. So if there's no will, somebody who dies intestate is the word, then most states have rules on how the estate is divided up. Basically, everything goes to a spouse. If there's no spouse, then the kids, you know, split equally. If there's two kids and the third, you know, kid passed and has children, that third kid's share gets split equally amongst the remaining children. So usually that's spelled out in state law. And I would recommend you go and look at your probate code. I actually bought, if you look right here, that blue book is the probate code in California. I actually bought it and read it. Not attorney, it's all written in English. Couldn't recommend it enough. Okay, I think that's a wrap for today. We do this every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. I'm Bill Gross. This is Probate Mastery's Real Estate Coaching Call, part of the Probate Mastery Program. If I can help, reach out. I'm at Bill Gross Probate on social media. I also host probateweekly.com every Thursday at 4 o'clock. It's an interview program where you can see my YouTube channel, at Bill Gross Probate. This is my YouTube channel. Hope to see you guys there. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week.